Thanks so much for your time. I am Pius Kojo-Baka, and looking at our stories, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana has unanimously decided to maintain the policy rate at 14%, citing rising external risks to inflation despite continued strength in the domestic economy. Announcing the decision, Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Isiema, said recent inflation developments remain broadly in line with its forecast, although headline inflation increased in June mainly due to temporary factors.
Recent price developments indicate that inflation has edged closer to the lower bound of the medium-term target band, driven largely by base drift effects. Inflation expectations and core inflation measures, these have also increased but remain broadly within the target band. The July forecast remains broadly unchanged from the previous MPC round, with headline inflation projected to rise gradually into the target band. Potential upward adjustments in utility tariffs, together with escalating geopolitical tensions in the Middle East and the associated increase in crude oil prices, these present upside risks to the inflation outlook. On the downside, continued fiscal consolidation and an appropriately calibrated monetary policy stance, these should help moderate these risks going forward. Now, given these considerations, the committee, the MPC, by a unanimous decision, maintained the monetary policy rate at 14.0%. The committee judged that the current policy stance remains appropriate to guide inflation into the medium-term target band.
Now, reacting to the decision, finance professor at Andrews University, Professor Williams Pipra, said the justifications for the maintenance are tenable. He spoke earlier on The Pulse.
What is the inflation expectations, which is driven by both domestic and external factors? Then what is the core inflationary pressures? So if you look at what is happening externally, especially in the Far East, there is this still ongoing war between U.S. and right. Iran, which puts us in an unknown, uncertainty, let me put it in that way. So they try to be very more careful in their decision. So the 14% rate is a wait-and-see attitude. And if you listen carefully to the governor, he said, if you were to ask him his greatest worry is this global event of this war in Iraq, because it has a lot of impact affecting energy. And one major issue he talked about, which I'll come back to it again, which is when he's mentioned that Ghana's gross domestic drawdown reduce in a little bit. And he mentioned that the main driver was the energy cost. And the energy cost is going up all because of what is happening in the streets of Hormuz.
Okay.
25% of crude comes from there. And if there's that uncertainty, it can really affect the global market. And Ghana is not left out.
All right, so let's stay a while longer at the central bank, because they have warned that they will push for imprisonment and fines against persons and businesses that refuse to accept CD and Peswa coins as payment for transactions. There is more in this report.
The Bank of Ghana, in a statement issued this morning, stated that the action does not only affect persons who refuse to accept these denominations, but those who deliberately encourage others to do the same. According to the central bank, it has been forced to issue this reminder following persistent and widespread refusals by some transport operators and businesses to accept these coins as payments for goods and services.
Now, in a move to expand access to affordable credit, GCB Bank PLC has introduced a Tier 3 pension loan that allows eligible customers to leverage up to 80% of their vested pension savings while benefiting from lower interest rates and faster loan processing. Here's more.
GCB Bank PLC has launched its Tier 3 pension loan, a new financing solution that enables eligible customers to access up to 80% of their vested Tier 3 pension contributions as a loan. The product is designed to provide customers with quick access to funds without requiring traditional forms of collateral and allowing them to continue building their retirement savings. Speaking at the launch, Executive Head of Retail Banking at GCB Bank, Sina Kamagati, said the initiative is aimed at monetizing customers' voluntary pension savings to help them meet pressing financial needs.
Most organizations have occupational Tier 3 pension contribution. And so as a bank that wants to give comfort to its customers, what we have done typically is to find a way of monetizing that money customers are saving for the future. And so we are saying we can give you up to 80% of that vested contribution as a loan. What does that help you? We admit that the wind sometimes falls. You could get a good deal. Somebody is disposing of a property. I mean, you could just come to GCB with your pension statement. We check the balance. We work with your trustees. We work 80% of that, and we disburse it in record time. If you do this through our digital channel, you can get it disbursed in 30 minutes. Read my lips, 30 minutes. It could also be delivered through the banking or in a manual way. What we do is to solution for all category of our customers, but I would recommend the digital mode of delivery to all our customers. All you need to do is to look out for the GCB loan QR, scan it, and you are in the money.
He further stated that the Tier 3 pension loan carries a lower interest rate than the bank's conventional personal loan, making it a more affordable financing option for eligible customers.
The difference between this and our standard personal loan, first of all, because this is backed, in terms of pricing, this is very low. You are paying an effective interest rate of 6.9% per annum. Again, because this is secured, you don't have to pay for insurance. In a standard personal loan, we have to insure you against incapacitation, we have to insure you against death. But because this is backed by your own pension, you don't have to commit to those insurance and a lot more of other benefits.
The bank believes the new facility will improve access to credit for pension contributors while providing a convenient and cost-effective financial option for customers seeking funds for personal, business, educational, or other financial commitments.
Still within the financial space, Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin is urging Ghanaians to take a firm stand against what he describes as the mismanagement of critical state institutions, warning that successive governments must not be allowed to run down public assets. Speaking at the launch of a book documenting the turnaround of the National Investment Bank, the speaker criticized what he described as the gross mismanagement of the bank under the erstwhile NPP administration. Alban Bagbin says citizens must demand accountability and insists that institutions established to serve the national interest are properly managed regardless of which political power is in government.
In this prime, it financed Nestle Ghana, Aluworks, hotels, and many other businesses. National Investment Bank even gave birth to what is now the Agricultural Development Bank. And yet, by 2024, that same hitherto robust institution had not published a single set of audited accounts in more than a decade. This is one of many governance failures which this book strips naked and lays bare for the patriotic Ghanaian to stare at with revulsion and pledge to eradicate from our state corporate governance. We have many institutions in this country that stand today exactly where the National Investment Bank stood only a few years ago. Undercapitalized, opaque, demoralized, drifting into doldrums. The temptation in every such case is to reach first for money, as though a cash injection alone could cure the disease. This book is a standing rebuke to that temptation. Yes, the author received his recapitalization. But he reckoned that if you pour money into an institution with broken governance, the money only leads into irretrievable abyss.
Now, the speaker also attributed the reported turnaround of the National Investment Bank to the leadership of its current managing director, Chief Dr. Adoliwa Abdul Malik Seydou Zakaria. He commended the bank's management for what he described as efforts to transform the financial institution and restore confidence in its operations.
I have witnessed at close distance and with much admiration how he identified community challenges and turned them into businesses that created employment, increased government's tax revenue, and offered succor to distressed communities. Of course, like every brave self-made person in Ghana's rough business terrain, it was not all rosy for him. But the topsy-turvy journey through his life has molded him. If for nothing at all, he harvested many lessons in minding his own businesses. So when the nation doubted whether a man who had never worked in a bank could rescue a drowning national bank, I did not share the doubt for a single moment. After all, the hustles of his upbringing were sermons guiding his success. As he articulates in his book, a man who sold kerosene when he was only 8 and earned his own money as a shoeshine boy, to quote him, does not look down on the people at the bottom of the organization.
Meanwhile, Managing Director of the National Investment Bank, Chief Dr. Adoliwa Abdul Malik Seydou Zakaria, who authored the book chronicling the bank's transformation, revealed significant growth in the bank's deposits. He said deposits have increased from 6.4 billion cedis in 2024 to 12.9 billion cedis, while the bank is also working to reduce its non-performing loans to below 50%.
That National Investment Bank PLC is one of the strongest banks in the country, and I'm sure my brother Farhan is here, he will attest to it. Respectfully, I share with you the key strategies behind the rapid turnaround of NIB PLC. Bold decision to own NIB and to take full responsibility for it, which led to a massive profit from 3.1 million in 2024 to 344 million in 2025. And if we just oppose that with half year of 2025 against half year of 2026, there's also a 40% increment, because in 2025 we made 74 million, but in 2026 we have moved it to 94.04 million. I led by example, moved to the field and to decision makers to mobilize deposits. This reflected in the bank deposit position today. 18 solid months at the beginning of 2024, we have 6.4 billion. Today, the deposit is 12.9 billion Ghana cedis, twice the deposit as at June 30th. Indeed, let me also explain that my knowledge in networking and lobbying skills gave us an opportunity to be the first bank to be recapitalized in 4 months, with a total amount of money of 1.97 billion from the central bank. This significantly impacted the total assets of the bank who stood at 5.8 billion in 2024 December. And today, the total asset of the bank as of 30th June is 14.9 billion quadruple. Non-performing loans, which used to be a problem for the bank as of December 2024, it stood at 76%. I am humbled to again, we haven't done too well, but we have drastically brought it from 76 to 52.21%.
This is Business Life. We have more for you after this break. Hello again, welcome back to Business Life. Let's now do the Joy Business Van. Small and medium-sized enterprises are the backbone of Ghana's economy, creating jobs, driving innovation, and supporting growth. But behind every successful business is a story of resilience and determination. Today on the Joy Business Van, we bring you the second part of our feature on homegrown retail brand Awuniyami, the company behind the Memo Shopping Malls. CEO Mercy Adochem reflects on the company's entrepreneurial journey, the challenges of building a business in Ghana, and the lessons for the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Behind every successful brand are years of tough decisions, bold moves, and lessons from the market. For Awuniyami, the journey has been about navigating challenges while building a retail experience customers can trust.
Retail business takes a lot. It takes a lot. But if you have passion for it, it's easy to do. I have passion for it.
That's Mercy Adochem, CEO of Awuniyami, the company behind Memo Shopping Malls, who for years has built a trusted retail brand.
It's about honesty. It's about hard work. It takes a lot. It doesn't take only Auntie Mercy to do this business. I have a lot of strong backbones behind me. That is the management team.
Ghana's retail industry has become increasingly competitive, with new supermarkets, shopping malls, and online retailers all competing for the same customer base. Success depends not only on offering quality products, but also on staying ahead of changing consumer expectations and market trends. For Mercy and her team, that means constantly innovating, expanding product offerings, improving the shopping experience, investing in customer service, and ensuring Memo Shopping Malls remain the preferred destination for shoppers.
Variety, making sure our prices are competitive, making sure we get the stocks from the right source, from the suppliers, we bargain a lot. We make sure our customers will be comfortable. We do well with that. And then the products, our products are unique. We provide good customer service. We do a lot of product lines. If you go to our shops, you'll be happy.
Like many SMEs in Ghana, the business has had to navigate financing constraints, rising operating costs, and changing consumer preferences. She credits Ecobank Ghana for supporting the company's growth journey, providing the financial backing and business solutions that have enabled Awuniyami to expand its operations while remaining resilient in a highly competitive retail market.
They're like partners because they know us. They know Memo will take and will return it back. They know our loyalty. They know our honesty. They know we will do it and we'll pay back. So anytime, and at times if we don't even need funds to do anything, they call. Don't you need anything? What do you want? There is nothing we mention they don't do for us. There is nothing we mention that Ecobank won't do for us. That's one I have to say.
Awuniyami has made a significant contribution to employment and economic activity, with more than 150 people currently working across its shopping malls nationwide. Many of these employees are from the North Kanish community, where the business has its roots and continues to maintain a strong presence.
In the community, North Kanish, we've been here for so many years. And we have a lot of people from this area that work with us, a lot. Even some from here to Makwala, and we've worked with them for years. For more than 20 years. And this is where we saw them. And we still work with them. And they are part of the business now, they are family.
Mercy also shares some of the key lessons she has learned from decades of building and running a successful retail business.
We know having a business structure is an essential part of every business growth. I did not have this when I started. My advice is simple. Hard work and resilience matter a lot. Starting a business is never easy. So it's important to focus on building the right foundation from very beginning. Think of it like a newborn baby. You can't just leave it to take care of itself. It's the same with a business in its early stages. You have to be there, overseeing things and making sure everything is running the way it should.
So what are the next big goals for Awenyame?
For us, it's really about moving with God and letting him lead us step by step. We trust that wherever he takes us next is exactly where we are meant to be. We are simply trusting him to guide Awenyame into its next chapter, just as he's done every step of the way so far.
Awenyame's story is one of resilience, adaptation, and the drive to create value in Ghana's retail sector. From overcoming business challenges to supporting livelihoods, the company's journey highlights what it takes to build a lasting brand in a competitive market. As the retail landscape continues to evolve, Mercy Adichim and her team remain focused on growth, innovation, and serving the changing needs of customers.
And that's all we have for you by way of Business Life. I am Pius Kojobaka, grateful serving you.